Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Welcome to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast. I'm Declan, the son.
And I'm Jane, the mom. This is the podcast where we talk about brutal crimes, bizarre occurrences, and get you drunk with cocktails themed around one of our stories. To lighten things up, we'd like to end our time with a chaser. Please keep in mind some of our stories might be upsetting to young or sensitive ears.
We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to contact us by email or social media. You can find our contact info in the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, you can find us there at Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast, or use the link in our show notes.
Are you tired of this reality? Us too. How about once a week you take a break and visit a different reality? In Jack Billings Presents Haunted Apartment Complex, we bring you a comedy podcast full of ghosts, werewolves, gentle vampires, and Frankenstein monstrosities made of 72 people stitched together. And somehow, that's not even the strange stuff. A proud member of the Podmoth Network. Every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts. And there's nothing wrong with your audio. I've been a ghost this whole time. Shyamalan twist!
Hey, everybody. So what story do you have for us today, Mom?
I am going to be telling you a spooky story about a haunted place. I don't want to say where yet, but it's haunted, supposedly. How about you? What story do you have today?
I have the Buffalo Bill cocktail, or skip right past my story, but it's the same name. I'm talking about Buffalo okay. Bill. Sorry.
Buffalo Bill. Okay. So
straight out. Okay. Yeah. Talk about Buffalo Bill. And to go with it, I have the Buffalo Bill cocktail.
Gotcha.
Okay. So this cocktail is 2 ounces of bourbon, 1/2 ounce of maple syrup, 1/2 ounce of lemon juice, a dash of bitters, top it up with some soda water, and garnish with a lemon twist. I shook the bourbon, the maple syrup, and the lemon juice just without the ice in there.
Oh,
so that
okay.
The maple syrup didn't harden up. And then I put the ice in after
Mark.
I did a little more mix in. So
I didn't even look to see if mine like solidified in the bottom. I didn't even look. I just dumped it out and said,
if you do honey, then sometimes it'll just like freeze in there. So
yeah,
I just didn't want to.
I didn't
to
think
do that.
About it. That was very smart. We'll see. I'll taste mine and tell you if I taste any maple syrup because I'm excited about the maple syrup. No, I don't think I got any maple syrup in mine. I think you were smart.
It's just a coating on the bottom of the maple syrup.
There probably is. There's probably a big gob of it at the bottom.
Do you use real maple syrup or like Mrs. Buttersworth? Okay.
No, I use real maple syrup. I've been buying it because I'm using it in a protein mix that I make in the morning as my sweetener. And it's, oh man, so good. So yeah, I have real maple syrup. I'm bummed out that I can't taste the maple syrup because I thought that would be a really good combo between the bourbon and the smokiness of the maple.
I think it would.
I didn't get it.
Mine, I just use Mrs. Buttersworth though, so it's just sweeter.
It doesn't have the taste of maple syrup.
It doesn't have the maple. No. I don't have real maple syrup in the house though.
That's okay.
Anyways, let's get into Buffalo Bill.
Tell me about Buffalo Bill.
So this is the person that Buffalo Bill was based on from the movie. What's the fucking name of that movie? I just blanked it.
I did
Silence
too.
Silence of the Lambs. Jesus
Thank you.
Christ. Okay.
I lost
Silence
it.
Of the Lambs.
It it's flew out this... of my brain.
They based that character off of this guy.
What's his actual name?
Gary Heidnik.
Okay.
Yes. So, Gary Heidnik was born on November 22nd, 1943, in Eastlake, Ohio, a suburb of Cleveland. He was born to Michael and Ellen Heidnik. Gary and his brother, Terry, were placed in the care of their mother after the parents divorced, but only 4 years later, they would be placed in the care of their father and his new wife. However, things weren't so peachy at his father's house. Gary was abused by his father for compulsively wetting the bed.
That's not
nice. He would often make Gary hang his soiled sheets from his bedroom window so all the neighbors and anyone passing by could see.
This guy's a dick. I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fucked up. And he didn't get a break at school. Gary was extremely quiet and would often go the entire day without talking or making eye contact with anyone. While he was a young kid, he fell out of a tree and cracked his noggin, which later led to a strangely shaped head.
Oh.
Yeah.
See. Okay. The
kids would often tease him for it. And one of the only times he talked to someone at school, he responded to their question of if he did his homework or not with a, "You are not worthy of talking to me." And he just yelled that at her. Yeah.
I feel like that sometimes with some people, so I get it.
Despite him obviously not having a good time at school, he tested very well with an IQ of about 148. When he turned 14, he went to the Staunton Military Academy under the guidance of his father. And at 17, he dropped out of high school and joined the Army. Gary served the Army for 13 months. During basic training, his drill sergeant graded him as excellent. He applied for the several... He applied for... He applied for several special positions, but was rejected for most of them, including the military police. He was later sent to San Antonio, Texas, to be trained as a medic, and did well through medical training. Shortly after finishing his medical training, he was shipped off to the 46th Army Surgical Hospital in Germany. Only about a year and a half after joining the Army, Gary was honorably discharged after a subsequent diagnosis of schizoid personality disorder.
Oops. Okay.
Yeah. Shortly after his discharge, he became a licensed practical nurse and began working at the VA hospital. But shortly after starting, he was fired for being rude to the patients and missing work often. Not a great employee.
No, doesn't sound like it.
Mm-mm. In 1970, his mother was diagnosed with bone cancer and decided to go out on her own term. So she drank a bottle of mercuric chloride, which I don't know what that is, but that doesn't sound good.
No, it does not.
I don't know what that is. It sounds like it kills you, because that's what it did.
Oh, well,
this event caused Gary to become...
You get to choose, then. Which I'm all in favor of, but.
That was probably not a great way to go.
No, I'm looking up what it is.
Okay.
Ooh. Mercury and chlorine.
What? Yeah,
says it's
I'm
a corrosive
supposed to have either
substance.
One of those.
I don't want to drink anything or
that's
eat anything
so gross.
That's listed as corrosive. No, thank you. Okay, go ahead.
So this death caused Gary to become religious. So he joined the United Church of the Ministers of God, which at the time only had 5 followers, including Gary. He opened up a bank account in the church's name, and over time, he was able to put about $500,000 in there, which is about $2.7 million today.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That.
So he just started a bank account for the church. And, like, as more people were coming in, he would deposit, like, the money from those little bowls that they pass around.
Okay.
Into their bank accounts. And so they're making bread.
No kidding. I could have that.
Yeah, we should start a church.
Yeah.
In September of 1985, Gary's mail order bride arrived from the Philippines. I don't know if that's an incorrect term or not, but
it's probably not appreciated. Nothing's appreciated these days. You can't say anything. Yeah, whatever. But I get what you mean.
3 months after their marriage, she left him for a few different reasons, including sexual assault, abuse, and catching him in bed with three different women.
At the same time? And
he would. Yeah.
At the same time?
He would often. Yeah. And he would often make her watch.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'd peace out if I were her too. Wow. Okay.
However, he's a horny little bastard. Before they got divorced, Gary unknowingly got her pregnant and didn't find out until he got his orders for child support.
Oh, I probably wouldn't tell him either.
Yeah. No. On September 15th, 1986, she gave birth to a son who she named Jesse John Disto. Heidnik also had a child with Gail Linkow, a son named Gary Jr. The child was placed into foster care soon after his birth. Heidnik had a third child with another woman named Anjanette Davison, who was illiterate and mentally disabled. Yeah.
He's not.
Their daughter, Maxine Davison, was born on March 16th, 1978, and immediately placed into foster care.
That's so sad.
Shortly after this, Gary went to the Harrisburg State Hospital and checked out Alberta Davidson, the sister of Anjanette, who was mentally disabled. Gary brought her back to his house and locked her in his storage room in his basement.
This guy. Yeah,
this guy's a fucking piece of shit.
Oh my word.
A few days after she had been checked out of the hospital, she was found in Gary's basement. She was returned to the hospital and received a report that she had been sexually assaulted, sodomized, and was now infected with gonorrhea.
Oh, what? Oh.
Yeah, this guy's a fuckhead.
It just keeps getting better.
It doesn't get better. It does not get better either.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay, just a fair warning for now for people listening. I know it's a late warning, but it's not going to get better.
Ugh.
Heidnik was arrested, charged, and convicted of kidnapping, rape, unlawful restraint, false imprisonment, involuntary deviant sexual intercourse, and interfering with the custody of a committed person. The original sentence was overturned on appeal, and a Heidnik sentence. Spent 3 years of his incarceration in a mental institution prior to being released in April 1983 under the supervision of a state-sanctioned mental health program.
That seems like a bad choice. They should not have done that.
Yeah. No. And you'll see, they definitely shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
On November 25th, 1986, Heidnik abducted a 25-year-old woman named Josefina Riviera. He took Josefina and placed her in a pit he had dug in his basement. He chained her up and would sexually assault and torture her.
Of course he did, because he is a POS.
And that's what happened with Buffalo Bill. Is he had a pit in his basement that he trapped a girl in. So.
Okay.
Yeah. On December 3rd, he kidnapped Sandra Lindsay and placed her in the hole with Josefina.
Oh.
Only 20 days later, he kidnapped Lisa Thomas.
Jeez.
On January 2nd, he kidnapped Deborah Dudley. And 16 days after that, he kidnapped Jacqueline Askins. All of them were in the hole at the same time.
They were all together and alive.
Yes, but they were chained up at the ankles and I believe the hands. Maybe not the hands, but definitely their ankles were all chained up.
Okay.
Because like, I'm pipe in the basement.
Thinking, how do you not just like, I can see if you, if it's a really deep pit and you can't climb out yourself, but if there's six of you or five of you or however many there were, I'm going to be trying to climb out on somebody's shoulders.
For real. I'd probably beat him on the head with something. Knock him out.
I mean,
and then
you'd boosties.
Yeah.
Boost me up.
So he had about five women between the ages of 18 and 25 chained up in the hole in his basement. And every day he would sexually assault, beat, and torture the women he had locked up.
Jesus.
On February 7th, Sandra Lindsay died due to a combination of starvation, torture, and a pretty severe fever. Gary hauled her body out of the pit and put her in his kitchen. He proceeded to dismember her body.
No!
And then he boiled her head and cooked her ribs in the oven.
No.
Yeah. But for ribs, I would recommend like a pressure cooker or a smoker. You get a better flavor on it than just the oven. But just my
maybe
opinion.
He didn't have a pressure cooker or a smoker.
Sorry, it was a poor
that was joke. Gross.
My bad. He put that the cut gross. Up arms and legs in the freezer and labeled them dog food.
Oh my God.
His neighbors reported a His neighbors reported a foul smell coming from his home, so police stopped by, but they left shortly after Gary had told them there was a, like, the foul smell was from a burnt roast. Yeah.
Jesus. Could you imagine, like, your neighbor, like, you smell something nasty to the point where you call police?
That's what's the Jeffrey Dahmer thing, like. His neighbor, all of his neighbors in the apartment complex were complaining, and the police, like, didn't really do much about it.
I can't even imagine.
You may be thinking, how did they not get the police attention? Like, how did they not hear the cops call for help if they're just downstairs in the basement? Okay. Well, that's because Gary duct taped their mouths and ruptured their eardrums with a screwdriver.
No, my God.
That's really fucking gross.
This guy.
On March 19th, Gary filled the hole with a decent amount of water and tossed a stripped extension cord into the hole, electrocuting everyone touching the water.
Holy.
Yeah.
How? Yeah. Oh.
This guy's fucked up.
He is. Yeah.
This killed Deborah Dudley, who he disposed of in Pine Barrens, New Jersey. On March 23rd, 1987, Gary abducted Agnes Adams and brought her to the pit. The following day, she had convinced Gary to let her speak with her family, so Gary unchained her and brought her out of the pit. They drove into town, and Gary told her he would wait at a nearby gas station for her to return.
Wow.
It's just like, this guy is so.
She's got some powers of persuasion.
Happen, dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, for real. She immediately called the police once she was out of Gary's sight.
Good for
her. The responding officers, the responding officers saw that her legs were all cut up from the chains.
Yeah.
And they immediately went to the gas station and detained Heidnik, where he said he was going to be waiting.
Yay!
His purported best friend, Cyril Brown, was also arrested. But Brown was released on a $50,000 bail and on an agreement that he would testify against Heidnik.
So,
in part,
he knew?
Yeah. So, Brown admitted that he had witnessed Lindsay's death in the basement and that he had witnessed Heidnik's dismemberment of her body. And shortly after his arrest in April 1987, Heidnik attempted to hang himself in his jail cell. So, his friend knew about it and just wasn't telling anybody. And super fucking... It's guy's nasty. A piece of shit, too.
Yes, yeah. Agreed. I will say, though, I mean, that's the kind of friend that you want, right? Who's going to cover your crimes for you? I mean, I'm not saying what he did was right. Nothing that either one of them did was right.
Instantly.
He did, but how long did he, like, I'm keeping a secret.
Well, I want the friend that's going to do that and then also not flip.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Goodness.
At the trial, Gary claimed that the women were already there when he moved in. Yeah, fucking. This guy is so fucking stupid.
That is wild.
He initially went for the insanity plea, but that was denied because he had amassed so much money for the church. They're like, this guy's really good at investing. He's clearly not insane. So that was denied. On July 1st, 1988, Heidnik was convicted of 2 counts of first-degree murder, 6 counts of kidnapping, 5 counts of rape, 4 counts of aggravated assault, and 2 counts of involuntary deviant sexual intercourse. On July 6, 1999, Gary ate his last meal of 2 slices of cheese pizza and a coffee before getting executed by lethal injection.
Wow.
Yeah. Fucking crazy. I can't believe I've never heard that story before.
Me either. I think I have, but I don't think I knew those details.
So gross. So gross.
So his last meal was cheese pizza. Seriously, I'm not cheese pizza. Could you get any 2 more slices. Boring? I'm
at least get the whole pizza. Why ask for just 2?
But why just cheese? I mean, there's
This guy wasn't the brightest bulb in the. Well, actually, no. He was. He had an IQ of 148.
He was really smart.
So
he's really smart. No accounting for his dietary taste.
Yeah,
I'm not eating cheese pizza as my last. No. Meal on purpose.
Uh-oh.
What would you have as your last meal?
I think I'd have Trace Reyes, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I'd probably have a couple different things. I'd probably have that. I'd have a fried chicken sandwich.
I'd probably order a lot of things just to have one bite. Yeah. Of each thing that was like really, really good.
Maybe like a dry aged steak, some like potatoes or something. Yeah. I could think of some good things to eat on my last
meal. Me too. Way better than friggin' cheese pizza.
Cheese pizza? Yeah. What the hell?
Boring.
Okay, let's hear your story.
Well, are you ready to hear my haunted story?
Yes.
Okay. We've talked about haunted houses. We've talked about haunted boats and even towns that are reported to have a lot of haunting and paranormal activity. But today, I'm going to tell you about another haunted place that's bigger than those things, and it is a reportedly haunted forest in central eastern Oregon.
We might have to go.
Right. The Malheur National Forest is in eastern Oregon. It is a national forest of about 1.4 million acres of mostly high desert grasslands. It also contains multiple tree species in it. The forest is managed by the U.S. Forest Service and is used for timber, cattle grazing, gold mining, and miscellaneous wilderness use, you know, like camping and horseback riding and stuff like that. The forest has a unique claim to fame that it doesn't involve, that doesn't involve anything paranormal. It is home to the largest known organism measured by area in the world. I think we have talked about this, the mushroom.
I was literally just looking it up because I was like, I think that's where the mushroom is.
It is where the mushroom is. I just pulled it up. Yep. It's not Bigfoot. Bigfoot has definitely been spotted in Oregon, but it was kind of funny because I got down a little bizarre rabbit hole of Bigfoot because I was curious, like, ooh, maybe Bigfoot hangs out in that forest too, and he's hanging out with the haunted stuff that happens. But Bigfoot doesn't apparently like the dry desert because there are no reported sightings of Bigfoot from Malheur County. Bigfoot sightings are like more in the valley, like up and down the I-5 corridor kind of area where it's
lots of trees, you know, and stuff.
Yeah, more trees and
more moisture,
more rainy climate. Yeah, apparently, I didn't know Bigfoot was anti-desert, but apparently he is.
Well, you think he's covered in fur, it's probably going to be pretty hot in the desert, so.
Oh, good point.
I think he'd want some rain to cool off.
Yes, but it gets very cold in the desert at night. So he might like fur. I don't know. Either way, Bigfoot doesn't hang out in Malheur County. I didn't know that. But now I do. And now, so do you. So the biggest organism is, like we were just saying, it's a giant fungus that spans over 2,200 acres or almost 3.5 square miles. It is, the common name of it is the honey mushroom. And the estimated weight of the fungus varies from 7,500 to 35,000 tons, which is pretty wild.
Jesus Christ.
It is a parasite that will colonize and kill the host roots of plants and trees. So it like lives underground and then it goes to the roots and then it grows into the tree and then it kills like the tree and stuff.
I've seen pictures of the forest like that it's in, and instead of grass, it grows like little mushrooms. Like,
yeah,
it's like a field of mushrooms. It's crazy.
But the mushrooms only pop out every once in a while. They're not constantly there.
It's a certain temper. Like there has to be certain like climate conditions for the mushrooms to sprout.
Yeah. It's believed that the fungus is possibly over 8,000 years old, which is crazy town thinking that a fungus, a giant mushroom, is that old. Much of the haunted or spooky activity in the forest centers around an extinct volcano known as Malheur Butte. This peak is about 2,600 feet in elevation and overlooks the small town of Ontario, Oregon. Although the volcano is extinct, there is still plenty of geothermal activity in the region with many hot springs. So the rivers and streams, there's some that are geothermally heated, and so there's places if you want to go sit in the hot springs and absorb the funky water and that kind of stuff. The name Malheur is French, which translates to misfortune in English. Given that meaning, it might not be surprising that there are many rumors in the area of paranormal nature. Malheur Butte has many evil legends attached to it. It is believed that Native Americans from the region would use the top of the butte as a lookout point because it allowed them a good view of the surrounding areas and they could see any incoming covered wagons during like the settler ages. And so when they would see the settlers, they were like, "We didn't invite you. You're not welcome here." And the settlers would meet their untimely demise for encroaching on the wrong area. And it's believed that the ghosts of those settlers are haunting the area, which is part of the National Forest.
So just people one that legend... suck at the Oregon Trail.
Yes. Yes. They did not survive the Oregon Trail.
Okay. That's who's haunting this place.
Yeah.
Bunch of wagons maybe, and
maybe some other
dwellers.
Things too. Yes, because there's another legend that says that a coven of witches would meet on Malheur Butte at the peak and possibly perform dark magic ceremonies and rituals. Residents of the area grow up hearing about the witches and getting warnings to stay away, especially at night, because apparently a coven of witches wants to do their dark magic on an extinct volcano at nighttime. So don't go there at nighttime. Some visitors report seeing fairies or sprites. More recently, disturbances have been reported by people who claim to see apparitions, often again at nighttime. Many have seen or been chased by ghostly dogs that are described as small and black with long, thin legs, oversized heads, and blank emptiness where the eyes should be. So they've got like no eyes, just a hollow pit where the eyes are supposed to be. And they're gangly looking, tall,
creepy,
long-legged, yeah, with giant heads. While others report experiencing tall, shadowy figures, sometimes wearing long black robes that often make screeching sounds.
I don't like that either.
I don't either. And I tried to find like specific accounts. There were a few people that, you know, commented on different forums and such about like, oh, I was near there and saw oftentimes the shadowy figures wearing robes or the giant headed dogs would chase them off. But I couldn't find a whole lot of information other than like when you look it up, it's like, ooh, the most haunted forest in Oregon. And I'm like, cool. And then there's like so few details. It was kind of disappointing. But I do, of course, want to go there.
Yes. I want to go there and see the mushroom too.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's like a season where we could see more.
Yes. And we should pick like that season where they pop up out of the ground. I don't know if you could eat them though.
I don't think so either, but maybe that's what's causing the ghosts. People eating the mushrooms and they're poisonous.
Oh, that could be. That could be. And they just keel over and they're like, ah, shit. Guess I shouldn't have eaten that mushroom.
Do you have a chaser?
I do have a chaser. And I didn't go looking for this specifically, but I was looking for a chaser. And it turned out it was perfect for this story because it's also in Oregon. Parts of southeastern Oregon have been designated as a dark sky sanctuary because there's like very little light, so it makes it amazing for stargazing and being able to see like all of the stuff you can't see in the city and the surrounding areas because of light pollution. Mm-hmm. Right now it's just an area at the edge of Lake County that has been designated as the Dark Sky Sanctuary, but they're looking to expand it into Harney and Malheur counties. So if you want to go look at cool stars in Malheur County, it might be really cool that you can see them, but also be careful because you might get attacked by giant headed, long-legged dogs that have no eyes. But
yeah, nothing.
One of the things in the article that really made me like go, what the hell? was they called it the Oregon Outback in this article. Now,
that's weird.
I have grown up, except for a few years of my life, have always lived in Oregon. Mm-hmm. Same with you, same with your dad. I have never in my life heard any part of it called the Oregon Outback. And they, in this article, just throw it out there like it's a common phrase that everybody uses. So if any of our listeners have heard that phrase before and it's a legit thing, please let me know, because I would like to, I feel like they just made it up.
That sounds made up. Yeah, I've never heard of that.
So apparently Oregon has an outback, but only this one article person knew about it being called that. Mm-hmm. Nonsense. Anyway. Do you have a chaser?
I do. My chaser is another watch recommendation for a comedy special on Netflix. It's okay. Dave Attell's Hot Cross Buns.
Oh, that I saw that came out recently.
It's not like a storytelling comedy special. It's more of like just quick rapid fire jokes. It's pretty funny though. Yeah, it's
good. You would recommend it, huh?
I liked it. It's only 40 minutes too, so it's not like it takes all day to watch it or something, but it's pretty funny. Cool. I enjoyed it.
That's awesome. We'll have to give it a look.
Yes. Well, I enjoyed hearing about that spooky story. We're going to have to check it out.
Yes, for sure. I mean, it's not that far from us.
Yeah. So it's east, right? East Oregon?
Yeah. Eastern.
Okay. Yeah, maybe we'll have to check that out. All right.
Definitely.
Oh. Love you, Mom.
All right. Nice chatting with you. Love you.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, friends. Thank you for supporting our podcast. Please share our show with your brutal and bizarre friends. Give us a boozy follow on your favorite podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating or review as well. But maybe do that sober so all the letters are in the right place.
You can find all our contact information in the show notes. We love hearing from you, and if you're interested in helping us stock the bar for our future boozy episodes, you can find our Patreon link in the show notes as well.